Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Many of us have lost loved ones to suicide. Can we do anything to help prevent it? Let's go in depth with Jean Holdhouse with Pinerest Christian Mental Health Services, Pella. Jean, who commits suicide?
It crosses all boundaries. There's not one group that isn't affected by it, but the statistics would actually say that the elderly are more likely to commit suicide than any other group.
Why is that?
As we age, there are more and more problems. We become more and more isolated, and many illnesses, depression or anxiety, become a part of those and go untreated because they're seen as you're getting old, that's just natural, rather than something that could be treated.
People can seek help and they don't think they can. They just think it's inevitable to be depressed?
Yes. Oftentimes you think if you're aging, this is just part of aging instead of seeking help for it. And because doctors are treating so many other conditions, it can oftentimes even go overlooked by a general practice doctor because they have very little time to spend with you and you have this list as you age of things that are wrong that they're trying to manage all the medications that go with. So it's a combination of things that people don't talk about it and doctors can then overlook it.
Well, we hear a lot about teenage suicides, mm-hmm. too. Is that a big demographic, or is that just because it's reported more, or it's higher on our consciousness level?
It is a demographic that commits suicide as well. I think it makes the news more because it's seen as more tragic, but it is a demographic that we also have to be very aware that is a demographic that commits suicide as well.
And a lot of times, people will say that there were no signs. Is that true?
Generally speaking, there are signs, but they look not as significant as they really are. They're little things, like people begin to give away their possessions, or they quit doing things that mattered to them. Sometimes people will even say goodbye, but they say it in jest, and so it's not taken seriously. So you look back, and you can see all of these warning signs that added up to this, but each one of them in themselves didn't seem that serious.
In jest, how would one do that?
Just kind of joking, like they're saying goodbye jokingly, and you don't know that they're serious about it.
They say goodbye. I'm going to go commit suicide.
No, they say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and you don't think about it as being anything more than that.
Than them just parting company.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are some signs?
So people that begin to give away things that matter to them, they quit doing the things that matter to them in life. They kind of begin to withdraw because oftentimes people believe that they're a burden on the people around them and that those people's lives would be better off without them. So they begin to withdraw from their life and watch life go on around them. And it kind of confirms for them, see, life is fine without me. So they do a lot of letting go of the things that would matter. They become more isolated and withdrawn. And for men, they can actually become more irritable because when men become depressed, they oftentimes become more angry looking and lash out more.
Just men, not women?
Women can do that as well, but you see it more in men than women. I think women have much more permission to be sad than men do. So men take that sadness and it moves across into irritability.
Well, that's interesting. Irritability. What if they were irritable all the time before? What can you do?
Well, and it would be watching for changes in level would say that there's an issue. So with all of those things, they may be something that happens in our life for a period of time, but if it's increasing in its amount or is becoming more intense in what's happening, that would be a warning sign. So if you're, for example, if you're looking at a teenager, teenagers are normally a little withdrawn and irritable, but if you're watching that get markedly worse over a long period of time, that would be something that said, oh, something's wrong here. I need to look at what's going on and what can I do about that.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about helping prevent suicides with Jean Holdhouse with Pinerest Christian Mental Health Services in Pella. How do you approach a person you can't say, are you thinking about suicide or can you or what?
We think that if we ask questions like that, people are going to be offended, or it's going to cause them to start thinking about doing something they wouldn't normally do. The truth is, if we ask people, not necessarily thinking about committing suicide, but questions that might lead up to that, questions about, you know, have you ever thought about doing anything that would hurt yourself? It actually gives people permission to talk about it if we don't say it in a judgmental way. And that's important, because when you talk about it, it actually takes, it brings it out into the open where you can begin to see, oh, there might be hope to do something about it.
Is an approach that might work as you seem out of sorts or you seem a little different.
Yep.
Is that, because I don't think I could say, are you thinking about hurting yourself? It wouldn't
Yeah, you wouldn't
come
start
naturally
with that.
Me.
But if you're in a conversation with somebody and they're talking about how sad their life has been or how they can't catch a break, that might be a natural part of the conversation to say, wow, that sounds awful. Have you ever thought about not wanting to be here anymore because of that? You could lead into it from something else. And you're probably not going to do that with a total stranger. You're going to do it with the people you care about in your circles.
Is it good to talk with other friends or family members before approaching somebody, or no?
I mean, I think it depends upon the situation. If you're needing to say, is this just with me, or is this happening more kind of across their life, then you might want to talk to some other people. But if it's a good friend and they're confiding in you, you might not need to do that. You might just want to say, hey, what's going on here, and have the conversation. There's not a right or wrong to that.
Well, recently you were the facilitator at a conversation, a community conversation in Knoxville. About 75 people attended, and you facilitated that. What put all that together?
I think Knoxville has had a number of suicides, and the community began to say, this has got to stop. And so a group of the people that were talking about that decided to gather and look at, okay, how can the community gather together around this and begin to look at how do we put resources in place so that people who are struggling know where to go and they don't see that as the only option? How can we catch this before it happens so that we can prevent it from happening again?
Well, and what did we learn? I mean, what was the conclusion at the meeting? You broke down into groups and with different task forces. And can you sort of lay that out for us?
Sure. There's a group that's looking at how do we begin to look at a model for prevention that would be citywide. There are a lot of models out there that have been proven to lower this the incidence of suicide. So one group's going to look at, is there a model we can adopt and look at? Another group's going to look at, how do we begin to prevent this? What are the resources that we need to put in place? Another group's going to look at education. How do we educate people on what suicide is, what depression is, what mental illness is? And then another group's going to look at response. So if this happens again, how do we respond to it, both for the people that have lost someone that they care deeply about and for those that have had the law enforcement and the ambulance and all those people that do some of that caregiving? How do we take care of those caregivers? So those are the kind of the groups that are going to work on those things so that we can get a holistic plan.
And I presume that they're still looking for help, that people want to join the group, watch for announcements about it.
Yes, it will continue to be announced in the media in all different sorts of ways. And you can contact Larissa Van Donsler at Marion County Public Health if you're interested in being involved. We're always looking for more people, because this is going to take all of the community working together, and everybody has a part to play in it.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about helping prevent suicides with Jean Holdhouse with Pine Rest Christian Mental Health Services in Pella. Well, just sitting here thinking and listening to you, I think that I know five families, I know the people, five families where there's been a suicide this year, or maybe 2 years. That's way too much.
Definitely.
Any's way
one
too much.
One is too much, yeah.
But it's like, it's a real problem, isn't it?
Yes. And when we don't have the resources, or we don't know how to access the resources, we leave people in a place where they don't see themselves as having any other option.
So what are some of their options?
There are national hotlines. If you look in the front of your phone book, or if you just Google suicide prevention, there's hotlines you can call. The Cross Region has a hotline as well, and that number is available on their website as well. Marion County Public Health has resources. You're even just talking to your family doctor or your pastor is a place to start.
Just talking with somebody.
Yes.
And so you have to admit there's a problem. You have to identify that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But what about sort of what seems to be the spontaneous nature of some of those suicides?
They seem spontaneous to us, but usually they're not. There's been a lot of things that have led up to it that the person may or may not have been talking about. Oftentimes people don't talk about it a lot, and they end up more and more isolated and in their own heads, and then it just begins to mushroom on them so that they feel like they don't have other options.
So it just appears spontaneous.
I mean, not that there would never be a time when it's spontaneous, but oftentimes it's something that's been there, it's been thought about before. It's usually a continuum. People will have a random thought about wanting to hurt themselves, and then that random thought becomes something that accompanies a plan. And then they begin to look at, and how could I carry out that plan? And then they begin to think about, and what would the impact of that be? And then they make a decision. So it usually happens over a period of time.
So let's say that those thoughts have gone through my head, mm-hmm. and I come in here,
yeah.
and I say to you, hey, you know, I've been thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I'm just really depressed. Mm-hmm. What would you do? How would you proceed?
We would want to look at what are the ways we could keep you safe, both in the short term and in the long term, and then what sorts of resources can we put around you to help you get to a place? Because that suicidal thought or desire usually passes. It doesn't usually stay. If we can help put the right resources in place and keep that person safe until it passes. People don't remain suicidal for their life. It's a period of time.
Yeah, and especially kids don't get this.
Right.
They just think their whole world is right here, and in 10 years they won't even be talking to half the people that
exactly.
they're having problems with.
But they don't know that in the moment. So, and as adults, we can get in that place too where we get tunnel vision and it looks really bad right now and we can't see a way it's going to look different in the future either.
Well, right. What about things like people are depressed about money?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Health. Their health condition isn't going to get better. They aren't going to get any richer. Mm-hmm. How do you pull them out of that?
You begin to look at that may not change, but how do I be okay in spite of that? Because we all can find ways to live in spite of the difficulties in our life, but it takes a community. It takes putting resources around. If you're alone in it, then it doesn't feel survivable. If there are people that are helping you and walking with you and encouraging you in it, then it becomes doable.
And so what kinds of things would you, try to... That has to be such a major responsibility. I'd be a little frightened. Well, I guess you're trained to it, but is it sort of intimidating to deal with this, to that responsibility to try to help somebody not hurt themselves?
I think that's one of the reasons we're looking at training people, because if you know where the resources are and you know how to link somebody, then it's not near as scary as if you feel like, oh my goodness, this person just told me that and I have no idea what to do with it and I have no idea how to help them. So that's part of why, like, Knoxville's looking at how do we consistently offer trainings to help people know what to do. Like, we have training to know what CPR if someone stops breathing. And there is training for how to handle someone that's having a mental health crisis as well. And we can provide that to people so they have resources and know what to do. Because it's basically linking someone to help and making sure you help them get there. In the same way, if someone appears to not be able to breathe, you're going to call 911 and you're going to help them until the help gets there. So they don't have to know what to do. They need to know how to link them to somebody who does.
So it's like 911 for suicide.
Yeah. Or for other mental health conditions.
Other mental health conditions. Yep. Is it associated only with depression, or are there other mental health conditions that it's associated mm-hmm. with?
Most significantly depression, and oftentimes substance abuse is a part of that as well. But there are a number of different mental health conditions where that can be a part of it, when people begin to feel like there's no hope. And it can be that the circumstances of your life begin to become overwhelming, and you may not have a clinical diagnosis of depression, but the circumstances feel like I can't get out of them. And they feel overwhelming in that moment, too.
Do people ever recover from depression?
Oh, yes. 75% of people recover from depression. 25% of people will have to deal with it on an ongoing basis. But most people have a period of time where they struggle with that illness, and they recover from it.
What's the most notable or most common cause of depression?
It, like any other illness, has a combination of factors. So I think about it like diabetes, where the things that we have externally can create circumstances that make our body react in unhealthy ways. If I live on sugar, I've got more of a chance that I'm going to have diabetes. But there are also the internal factors. If I have diabetes, the chemicals in my body have gotten out of whack. If I have depression, the chemicals in my body are not functioning right. They just happen to be the chemicals in my brain. And so it is a physical illness, just like diabetes or any other illness.
So it's not me being, not strong enough, not tough enough.
No. You wouldn't say that about diabetes. We wouldn't say, if I was just stronger, I wouldn't have diabetes. And it's not any different with the mental health illnesses. We just didn't know as much about them, and so they've been stigmatized.
Well, what if I'm worried about being stigmatized by, mm-hmm. By getting treatment, coming in and asking for help?
Sure. I think you have to recognize that healthcare professionals are trained and they know that it's an illness and they know how to treat it. You don't have to tell the world, but tell someone who can help you. Tell your doctor. Get help from people who know what to do with it.
Do we have to tell our family, our friends?
Not necessarily. If you're not ready to tell them or you don't think that they would hear that well, it's just like any other physical condition. You don't have to share all of your physical illnesses with your family.
I guess you want to find somebody that's going to support you rather than scold you.
Yes, you most certainly do.
Okay, so. And then seek out professional help.
Mm-hmm. That is an important piece of that.
And what if somebody doesn't have the resources for professional help?
There are always, like, Marion County Public Health is a no wrong door. So if you don't feel like you have the resources, you can go there, you can call there. They will help you find those resources. Because there are county and state agencies that are designed to fill in those gaps. But you have to be willing to ask them. And sometimes we don't want to have to admit we don't have the resources. We feel stigmatized by that as well.
What's the most important thought you can share today about suicide?
It's preventable, and we got to work together as a community to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Thanks to Jean Holdhouse for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.